John chapter 8 and verse 32 and verse 36. Let me just read the verses to you. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. John chapter 8, verses 32 and 36. Now you can see by the opening words in each of those verses, then you will know. So if the Son, you can see that I should not take these two verses out of context, because they're heavily in a context. The very words themselves show you that it's part of a discourse, an argument. Let me just read the context to you. Verse 31, to the Jews who had believed on him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Verse 34, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now this discourse I shall put up under the series A Few Thoughts On, so it's going to be a very brief discourse. It's not a full sermon. I can only ask that if you want to see the context here, you should listen to the previous discourse on this passage from chapter 8, verse 12 onwards to the end of the chapter. Jesus is confronting the Jews here. Many, perhaps thousands, had flocked to him, believing on him. But he confronts them, he divides them. He tells them plainly that many of them have no saving faith in them at all. They are nominally believers, they are professed believers. And he is very confrontational, very direct, and very blunt with them. And in the middle of this discourse, we have these two texts. The truth will set you free. The Son. If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And I want to home in upon this thought. Freedom in Christ. Freedom through the truth. Freedom is the theme here. But you must remember the context. Jesus is addressing a large congregation, many of whom are nominal believers, professed believers, but have no genuine grace or faith within them. They're merely assenting to Jesus. They're assenting to truth. They're sort of liking it, interested in it, attracted to it in some way. Very much like Christendom has done for us. Very much like churches today, gathering together huge numbers, using all sorts of means to gather them together, and then treating them in their discourses and treating them in their whole system of worship as believers. Nothing could be more apt or relevant. In such a context, Jesus is most confrontational and direct, and we need that kind of confrontational preaching today. We always need it, but we need it more than ever today. And this is the glorious promise for those who truly are in Christ. The truth will make you free. The Son shall make you free indeed. Of course, the other side of the coin, and this is the other side here, of course, this is how it's being said. For those who are not in Christ, in the sense that they do not have a saving faith in him, the true saving faith, they have not been joined to him, they have not been regenerated and brought to Christ, they're in bondage. They're in captivity, slavery, through lies and deception. It's only in Christ that we have the truth. It's only in Christ that we have freedom. Outside of Christ, religion, decency, respectability, rites and ceremonies, whatever it might be, outside of Christ is bondage, slavery, lies. It is only in Christ that we have the truth and liberty, freedom, emancipation, redemption. Now that is his claim. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is not one who is one of many offering liberty. He is the only one who can bring sinners into liberty. What about Islam? No. What about Buddhism? No. What about Jehovah's Witnesses? No. What about Romanism? No. Rites, ceremonies, rules, decency, respectability, sincerity, whatever. The new atheism, can they break? No. It's bondage. Are you saying that Muslims, Romanists, Jehovah's Witnesses, the atheists, they're in bondage? I am. Christ is saying it. He's saying this to religious Jews who believe on him in a nominal sense. You are in bondage, he says. You are in slavery. The Jews get it. They say straight away in verse 33, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves of anyone. How can you say we should be free? We're free. No, says Christ. You are slaves in bondage. Now, Christ gives the seed of it here. Bondage, slavery, emancipation, freedom. But as he promised, as he said to his disciples, you can't take all that I want to say to you now. I need to say much more to you, but you can't take it now. But when I pour out the Spirit, he will take you and lead you into all truth. And so when we read the New Testament, we shall find the expansion of this great doctrine. The seed is here. It will germinate fully. Where do you want to read it fully? Then may I suggest you read Galatians chapters 4 and 5. The end of Galatians 4 and the beginning of chapter 5. Stand fast there, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Christ has made us free. That's Galatians 5:1. Read Romans chapter 6 from about verse 12, say into chapter 7, verse 6. You dared to the law, you died to the law, that you might be married to another. You're no longer slaves to the law, slaves to sin, slaves to death. Read 2 Corinthians 3. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so on. Now what is this liberty? What is this bondage? Well, the New Testament will make it very clear. We're slaves of sin, of law, and death. By nature, we are slaves of sin, law, and death. We are sinners. I can only be very brief in this discourse. We are sinners. What do you mean? Will we commit sins? No. We commit sins because we are sinners. We are born sinners. We are made sinners in Adam. He fell, and all the human race fell in him. For as in Adam all die. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. All of us were, for we're all in Adam. And we're in bondage to our sin. We are led captive by Satan at his will. 2 Timothy chapter 2. He's pulling the strings. We are fast bound in sin. We can't break free of it. We're bound in it in guilt. We are condemned. For as in Adam all die, we were by nature the children of wrath, God's wrath, even as others. We're under the condemnation of God. Ephesians 2 verses 1 to 3, John 3 verse 36, and so on. We're in sin, in the guilt of it, in bondage to the guilt. We can't shake free of it. We're in guilt, we're in slavery to sin, in the power of it, in the pollution of it. We can't shake free of it. It is only in Christ, it is only by trusting in Christ and being united to Christ that we can know freedom from sin. Freedom from sin? Are believers sinless then? Yes. In the sight of God, yes. Paul says to the Romans, actually, the Spirit will lead you into all truth. What does Paul say to the Romans? There is therefore now no condemnation to any man who's in Christ Jesus. What does he say to the Ephesians? He says very clearly that we are washed without stain or wrinkle or any such thing in the sight of God. What does the writer of the Hebrews say? He has perfected forever them that are being sanctified, those that are in Christ, those that are in him. He has perfected, by one offering, he has perfected forever his people. The believer is free from sin and the guilt of it, the condemnation of it, the power of it. As Wesley put it, he breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. Free from the pollution of it. Free from the presence of it. Of course, it will only be fully realized in eternity. But even now, at this very moment, the power is broken. We still sin, but we're not a slave of it. He that continues in sin, he that dwells in sin, he that lives in sin, does not have the seed of God in him. But once we have Christ, the truth, we shall be free. Sin. Law. Sinners are in bondage to the law. Sometimes the law of Moses, but often just merely rules and rites and ceremonies. I do my best. I do this. I do. It's all doing. It's all doing. What must we do to do work the works of God? How can we please God, they asked, the Jews asked. Do, do. The Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? Do, do, do. There is no doing. There is no doing. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. What do you mean? It's only in Christ that we realize that we can't earn our salvation. We're not under the law. We can't buy our way to God. We can't please God by ceremonies, rites, rules, sincerity, whatever it is. This is where the Muslim is wrong. This is where the Romanist is wrong. This is where the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormon is wrong. This is where the new atheist is wrong. Why? Because they're doing, doing, doing. Christ has done all the doing. It is finished, he said. It is completed. And in Christ, having the truth, having Christ himself, we are free from the law. Not only free from the law for justification, but believer, of course, as Paul will make it very clear to us, we are free from the law for assurance. We are free from the law for sanctification. Oh, I know that many teachers and confessors tell us that we're under the whip of the law. The Bible doesn't tell us that. The New Testament does it. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Romans 7 again, we've died to the law that we might be married to Christ, that we might bear fruit for Christ and to God in Christ. Christ sets the prisoner free from law. And death too. Death. Spiritual death. Outside of Christ, it's death. Oh, they may be intelligent, they may be well-read, they may be spiritual in the sense of liking music and drama, whatever they call it, poetry, but that's not spirituality. Alive to God is only possible in Christ. All is death and ruin. And it will lead to eternal death. But the believer is free from death. Spiritual death now, eternal death. He will die physically. This outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed. And the believer in Christ, having Christ, even his body will be raised in glory when Christ comes again. I'm being very brief. These three bondages, slavery to law, sin, death, unbeliever, you're in bondage. You'll either hate me for saying it or dismiss me for saying it. You say, I know. But Christ says it to you. I say it to you. You're in lies. Satan is deceiving you. By whatever religion you have, and atheism is a religion, but whatever religion you have is deceiving you. These people were religious. Christ says to them, you must be free. And the only way to be free is trust me. Have me. Have Christ. Unbeliever, I tell you, I warn you, I plead with you, in love I speak to you. Christ is offering himself to you even now, through my feeble words. He didn't say this in a gloating way to hammer them down. He was offering himself to them. All day long, says Romans, all day long, God stretches out his hands to a disobedient people. How often I would have gathered you, says Christ to these Jews later on. You will not come to me, he says. He said that already to them in John 5:40. He offers himself to them. He's offering himself to you now. I'm offering you freedom, emancipation, redemption from sin, death, law. Give up your trainings. Come into life. Come into holiness and spirituality. And it's all in Christ. I appeal to you, especially if you're a religious person, and it's almost certain you are because you're interested in sermons or listening to this. You like going to chapel and hearing sermons and talking about spiritual things, religious things, do you? Yes, you do. But do you know Christ, my friend? Has the Son set you free? Have you got Christ in the heart? Do you know him? It's not just knowing the truth in the sense of in the head, he that knows the truth. It's not just education. It's being deeply acquainted with, united to, loving, submitting to, is Christ your Savior and your Lord? No. Well, then take him now. Don't become religious. Become a Christian. We don't want you a Christendom man or a Christendom woman. We want you a Christian. You've got to have the Son, and the Son will make you free. And believer, this is your privilege. Of course, sin is still in you, yes. But you're being stupid for sinning. I'm speaking to myself, I'm a stupid sinner now. I'm not a slave to it anymore. I am free to say to God, I mean it, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. I can live for Christ not out of bondage or fear, but because I want to please the one who set me free from sin, law, and death. You know you're free from the law for justification, yes, but do you think you have to go back to the law for sanctification and for your assurance and whatever? No, 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 no. Go to Christ. It is Christ who is all. The Son shall set you free, not the law. The Son shall sanctify you. Christ shall set you free. I know that the law is in the truth too. I know the truth is the whole scripture. But it's not just knowing the scriptures, acquainted with it in your head. It's knowing Christ in the scriptures. Look for Christ. Free from death. Oh, I know your outward man is perishing. But it will be renewed. It is being renewed. And you will be renewed. And you shall never die. Do you believe this? Free from sin. Free from death. Free from law. And it's all in Christ. You see, the great issue is not religion. These people have religion by the bucket load. What we need is Christ. Christ is all, you see. He is the great liberator. He is the one who sets us free. Christ. Let me just read the text again. There is an if in them. There is an if in them. The if is this. Do you have Christ? If you have Christ, then you know the truth. And the truth sets you free. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.